Peeta, I call out, since there's no one to ask. I hear my name in response, but it's not his voice. It's a voice that provokes first irritation and then eagerness. Effie. I turn and see them all waiting in a big chamber at the end of the hall. Effie, Haymitch, and Cinna. My feet take off without hesitation. Maybe a victor should show more restraint, more superiority, especially when she knows this will be on tape, but I don't care. I run for them and surprise even myself when I launch into Haymitch's arms first. When he whispers in my ear, "Nice job, sweetheart." It doesn't sound sarcastic. Effie's somewhat teary and keeps patting my hair and talking about how she told everyone we were pearls. Cinna just hugs me tight and doesn't say anything. Then I notice Portia is absent and get a bad feeling. "Where's Portia? Is she with Peeta? He is all right, isn't he? I mean, he's alive," I blurt out.
"He's fine. Only they want to do your reunion live on air at the ceremony," says Haymitch.
"Oh, that's all," I say. The awful moment of thinking Peeta's dead again passes. I guess I'd want to see that myself.
"Go on with Cinna. He has to get you ready," says Haymitch.
It's a relief to be alone with Cinna, to feel his protective arm around my shoulders as he guides me away from the cameras, down a few passages and to an elevator that leads to the lobby of the training center. The hospital, then, is far underground, even beneath the gym where the tributes practice tying knots and throwing spears. The windows of the lobby are darkened, and a handful of guards stand on duty. No one else is there to see us cross to the tribute elevator. Our footsteps echo in the emptiness. And when we ride up to the 12th floor, the faces of all the tributes who will never return flash across my mind, and there's a heavy, tight place in my chest. When the elevator doors open, Venia, Flavius, and Octavia engulf me, talking so quickly and ecstatically I can't make out their words. The sentiment is clear, though. They are truly thrilled to see me, and I'm happy to see them too, although not like I was to see Cinna. It's more in the way one might be glad to see an affectionate trio of pets at the end of a particularly difficult day. They sweep me into the dining room, and I get a real meal. Roast beef and peas and soft rolls, although my portions are still being strictly controlled, because when I ask for seconds, I'm refused.
"No, no, no, they don't want it all coming back up on the stage," says Octavia,
but she secretly slips me an extra roll under the table to let me know she's on my side. We go back to my room, and Cinna disappears for a while as the prep team gets me ready.
"Oh, they did a full body polish on you," says Flavius enviously. "Not a flaw left on your skin."
But when I look at my naked body in the mirror, all I can see is how skinny I am. I mean, I'm sure I was worse when I came out of the arena, but I can easily count my ribs. They take care of the shower settings for me, and they go to work on my hair, nails, and makeup when I'm done. They chatter so continuously that I barely have to reply, which is good since I don't feel very talkative. It's funny, because even though they're rattling on about the games, it's all about where they were, or what they were doing, or how they felt when a specific event occurred.
"I was still in bed. I had just had my eyebrows dyed. I swear I nearly fainted."
Everything is about them, not the dying boys and girls in the arena. We don't wallow around in the games this way in District 12. We grit our teeth and watch because we must, and try to get back to business as soon as possible when they're over. To keep from hating the prep team, I effectively tune out most of what they're saying. Cinna comes in with what appears to be an unassuming yellow dress across his arms. "Have you given up the whole girl on fire thing?" I ask.
"You tell me,"
he says, and slips it over my head. I immediately notice the padding over my breasts, adding curves that hunger has stolen from my body. My hands go to my chest and I frown.
"I know," says Cinna, before I can object. "But the game makers wanted to alter you surgically. Haymitch had a huge fight with them over it. This was the compromise."
He stops me before I can look at my reflection.
"Wait, don't forget the shoes." Venya helps me into a pair of flat leather sandals, and I turn to the mirror. I am still the girl on fire. The sheer fabric softly glows. Even the slight movement in the air sends a ripple up my body. By comparison, the chariot costume seems garish, the interview dress too contrived. In this dress, I give the illusion of wearing candlelight.
What do you think?
Asks Cinna. I think it's the best yet, I say. When I manage to pull my eyes away from the flickering fabric, I'm in for something of a shock. My hair's loose, held back by a simple hairband. The makeup rounds and fills out the sharp angles of my face. A clear polish coats my nails. The sleeveless dress is gathered at my ribs, not my waist, largely eliminating any help the padding would have given my figure. The hem falls just to my knees. Without heels, you can see my true stature. I look, very simply, like a girl. A young one, 14 at most, innocent, harmless. Yes, it is shocking that Cinna has pulled this off when you remember I've just won the games. This is a very calculated look. Nothing Cinna designs is arbitrary. I bite my lip, trying to figure out his motivation. I thought it'd be something more sophisticated looking, I say.
I thought PETA would like this better,
he answers carefully. PETA? No, it's not about PETA. It's about the capital and the game makers and the audience. Although I do not yet understand Cinna's design, it's a reminder the games are not quite finished. And beneath his benign reply, I sense a warning, of something he can't even mention in front of his own team. We take the elevator to the level where we trained. It's customary for the victor and his or her support team to rise from beneath the stage. First, the prep team, followed by the escort, the stylist, the mentor, and finally, the victor. Only this year, with two victors who share both an escort and a mentor, the whole thing has had to be rethought. I find myself in a poorly lit area under the stage. A brand new metal plate has been installed to transport me upward. You can still see small piles of sawdust, smell fresh paint. Cinna and the prep team peel off to change into their own costumes and take their positions, leaving me alone. In the gloom, I see a makeshift wall about 10 yards away and assume PETA's behind it. The rumbling of the crowd is loud, so I don't notice Hamish until he touches my shoulder. I spring away, startled, still half in the arena, I guess.
Easy, just me. Let's have a look at you,
Hamish says. I hold out my arms and turn once.
Good enough.
It's not much of a compliment. But what, I say. Hamish's eyes shift around my musty holding space, and he seems to make a decision.
But nothing. How about a hug for luck?
Okay, that's an odd request from Hamish, but after all, we are victors. Maybe a hug for luck is in order. Only when I put my arms around his neck, I find myself trapped in his embrace. He begins talking very fast, very quietly in my ear, my hair concealing his lips.
Listen up, you're in trouble. Word is the capital's furious about you showing them up in the arena. The one thing they can't stand is being laughed at, and they're the joke of Pan Am,
says Hamish. I feel dread coursing through me now, but I laugh as though Hamish is saying something completely delightful because nothing is covering my mouth. So what?
Your only defense can be you were so madly in love you weren't responsible for your actions.
Hamish pulls back and adjusts my hairband.
Got it, sweetheart?
He could be talking about anything now. Got it, I say. Did you tell PETA this?
Don't have to, says Hamish. He's already there.
But you think I'm not? I say, taking the opportunity to straighten a bright red bow tie Cinna must have wrestled him into.
Since when does it matter what I think? Says Hamish. Better take our places.
He leads me to the metal circle.
This is your night, sweetheart.
Enjoy it. He kisses me on the forehead and disappears into the gloom.